Voters will head to the polls June 2 to vote in the next Ontario government after Premier Doug Ford moved to dissolve provincial parliament Tuesday. The 29-day campaign begins May 3. But a week before the official kickoff to the 2022 provincial campaign, the Cambridge Chamber of Commerce hosted a breakfast, Chamber Chat, on April 27 featuring five candidates in the Cambridge riding. The virtual event for members only invited NDP candidate Marjorie Knight, PC candidate Brian Riddell, New Blue Ontario candidate and Cambridge MPP Belinda Karahalios, Green Party candidate Carla Johnson, and Liberal candidate Sirika Shenoy to answer a series of questions posed by chamber members. The chat was hosted by President Greg DeRocher and featured brief introductions from each of the candidates. First question chamber member Kristen Danson asked how each party plans to balance the budget or if they plan to continue in perpetual deficit. Karahalios said her party's new blueprint includes a plan to boost the economy with a 3% cut to the HST, elimination of the provincial carbon tax and a goal to fight against the federal one. She said it's her priority to support the small business community, which has been hard hit by shutdowns. Riddell said the PC's plan and his goal is to work on a collaborative approach that seeks innovative ways to tackle the deficit without any tax hikes. Johnson said transparency is key to any government's financial strategy and said the Green Party would want to carefully assess where the funding is coming from first before looking for places to cut. A budget tells you our values, she said, adding, taxes are essential to creating a good society. Cutbacks in service often create more costs for families and said it's crucial that any plan for deficit reduction not be made at the expense of the province's most vulnerable citizens. Countering Karahalios' plan to cut the HST, Knight agreed taxes are necessary to create vibrant communities by meeting needs for things like infrastructure, schools and healthcare. But don't put the burden on those that can least afford it, she said, explaining how the NDP plan will generate additional tax revenue from higher income earners while offering relief to lower and middle incomes. We don't need new highways, she said. Instead, the province needs better schools, affordable housing, and creative ways to deal with homelessness. Will it cause a deficit at first? Yes, but it will be worth it. Shenoy agreed cutting taxes is not the best way to balance the budget, or reduce the deficit. Instead, the Liberals plan to invest with a goal to grow the economy and support a more vibrant business community. Second question chamber member Darren Drouillard said many Ontarians feel the province has never been more divided. It's a feeling that has led to mistrust of government and the political system. Voters are tired of mudslinging, he said. Rather than pointing at an opponent and saying what they will do worse, what will you do better? He asked. I think we have to work together, Riddell said, pointing out where the PC government plans to invest, not only in infrastructure, but in healthcare by building the largest hospital in Canada in Mississauga. Plans for new highways and transit will allow people to get around efficiently so they can maintain jobs and boost the economy, he said. Locally, he feels the consumption and treatment services site planned for 150 Main Street in Cambridge will ensure people can re-enter society and learn to take care of themselves. Johnson said she agrees the division in politics has never been worse, but she knows the Green Party has worked with parties across the political spectrum. A good idea is a good idea no matter where it comes from, she said. Sowing the division, she said, is the problem of so-called fake news and misinformation used to undermine research and facts. Its sole purpose is to make people angry and rise up, she said. It bothers me deeply. We have to address this very serious issue because it's going to take us down a dark, dark road. Knight said she looks at the role of MPP as a role in service of the people. It's not about us. It's not about power. It's about the public, she said, citing her experience as a social worker who listens to the people she serves. We have to work together to solve the problems of those who live in our communities. Shenoy blames social media for much of the divisiveness, because all you get is a backlash if you say something positive. I believe politicians do collaborate behind the scenes. I would work across the aisles for whatever ideas need to be implemented for the greater good of the community and Ontario, she said. Karahalios wanted to make it clear everyone understands that division is different than debate. When we have debate, we're looking at each other's policies and platforms. That's not division. She said it's important for political leaders to examine everything with a fine-tooth comb. I absolutely can work with another party to flesh out these ideas to make them better, she said. The key is listening to your community, she said, referring to her stance on bringing a CTS to Cambridge, an idea opposed by the majority of residents in the last city-held survey. A CTS would devastate downtown Cambridge, she said, adding her goal would be to look at different programs to address the issue. Third question: Kristen Danson then asked each candidate what they thought of rationed healthcare and how the pandemic highlighted where private healthcare might be beneficial in alleviating the stresses on the public system. Many rant that any private care moves us closer to the insanity of what goes on south of border, she said. Would you be looking at ways a private system could bring better care? She asked. Johnson didn't like the question, saying it assumes a two-tiered system is the way to move forward, a place that we've been moving slowly but surely under a PC government. Is it effective? Who is going to be best served by this? She asked. The Green Party's policy is to look at what makes for a better Ontario and if it helps the most vulnerable. I want to make sure healthcare is strong, she said, adding some two-tiered systems are heavily burdened with bureaucracy. Knight said she has no doubt the province under Doug Ford's leadership is moving towards a two-tier system. I look at it and wonder who is it serving, she said. We have a public health system and yes, it has its problems, but we don't have to mortgage our house to give birth to a child, we don't have to go into debt, she said. An NDP government would prop up healthcare by making sure it is properly funded and available to all Ontarians. Shenoy agreed the government needs to ensure healthcare is strong and saw how the backlog of surgeries created an opening for conservative leaders to make moves toward privatization. The problem, she said, is healthcare has faced significant cuts. I started my run because I was concerned about inefficiencies in the system. I think that's where we need to focus. I'm grateful for it and we should be doing everything we can to protect it. Carahalio said Ontario is still far from a true two-tiered healthcare system now, but said she doesn't think private healthcare is a dirty word. She doesn't think it's fair that Ontarians should have to go to the states to get treatment in a timely manner and said it may be something the province should look into to reduce wait times in the public system. People who can afford it would open room for those who can't, she said. Ultimately, she wants to see more transparency around healthcare spending. The healthcare system is not perfect and COVID has shown a lot of breaks in it, Riddell said, adding government needs to look more closely at results and efficiencies that make it easier for people to get an MRI in Ontario. The PCs want to hire more nurses and pay their tuition if they commit to working in underserved communities, he said, citing years of neglect under the Liberals and the pandemic for weakening it. Fourth question on the topic of the greening of the economy. Darren Drouillard asked each candidate if they think it's feasible to expect 100% electric vehicles on the road by 2035, pointing out the current dearth in electric charging stations. He said by then the province will need 1.6 million charging stations. Our party feels strongly about moving in that direction, Knight said, adding the province needs to create jobs around the electricity generation industry so we can expand and encourage use of EVs. Shenoy said scrapping the cap and trade program removed money set aside for charging stations and other green projects. She said the Liberals would provide incentives for home charging stations and said all sectors would need to make a seismic shift to meet net zero targets. The Liberals would look at innovative ways of doing things, including recapturing carbon and supporting reduction in emissions. Carahalio said she doesn't think the EV trade is sustainable and called investment in the industry a waste of tax money. We need to increase take-home pay and productivity by reducing the cost of electricity and increase manufacturing jobs, she said. Riddell disagreed, saying the environment is changing and we have to do something to allow our children to survive. EV charging stations are essential, he said, pointing to the PC investment in the LG plant in Windsor for battery production. Investing in sustainable energy will get people back into high-paying jobs, he said, adding he believes nuclear is one option that hasn't been considered enough. I hope that overwhelmingly Ontario political parties are united on the need to do something, Johnson said, adding the green economy will create new ventures. When we look at old ways of doing things, we bog ourselves down, she said. With EVs, there are all sorts of possibilities, solar, wind, there are so many opportunities, she said. And it's 100% sustainable. She believes a combination of private venture and government incentives will increase buy-in with EVs. There are so many people who are waiting to jump on this. Fifth question Kristen Danson asked each candidate, as Cambridge's representative at Queen's Park, what they will be asking the province to invest in to make it better. Shenoy said she will first ask her constituents what is not right. I will be advocating for this community. She feels housing is a top priority, knowing that a lot of people are on the brink of homelessness. None of my children can afford homes, even with great paying jobs. We need to have inclusionary zoning. We need to stop urban sprawl. We need more access to transit, she said. She wants to create an economic dignity plan to boost wages and help small business owners meet their labor needs by keeping people in the city. Cara Halios said she will continue to put the community before the party. The only type of investment that matters is investment in businesses. We need to defend the taxpayer and spend money where it matters most, she said. Top priorities are infrastructure and healthcare, adding she hopes to bring a dialysis unit to Cambridge Memorial Hospital. Riddell said the PCs would continue to invest in new schools, offering the example of the new Catholic school announced for Baden last month. He said hospitals will be getting infused with money under the PCs. My dream for this area is to make Cambridge a Silicon Valley of its own, he added. We have all these intelligent people. He wants to develop the labor force to keep people in Cambridge and said the PCs plan to build 1.5 million houses over the next few years will help the city achieve that. I'm not a mudslinger. I'm here for the people of Cambridge. Johnson said finding solutions to the housing crisis is a top priority. It's astounding how large the gap is for first-time homebuyers, she said. She criticized the city for its slow response to the opioid and drug crisis, with little to nothing in place, while other communities like Kitchener-Waterloo, Guelph and Brantford are responding. Johnson also wants to make Cambridge more visible on the highway, saying the signs need to be made bigger to attract more tourists. Knight said as a family outreach worker she's spent a lot of time in the community, hearing about needs and housing is by far the most important issue. The incredible amount of money being asked for rent is absolutely ridiculous, she said. Something needs to be done and I am here to help. She feels linking Cambridge with other cities through improved public transit would help move people and help with affordability. Sixth question for the final question, Darren Drouillard focused on addiction and mental health issues and asked the candidates how their party will accelerate solutions. Cara Halios said the pandemic exacerbated the issue, but mandates and lockdowns created a mental health crisis across all age groups. Drug addiction and homelessness will not be helped with a safe injection site, she added. Instead, she believes investments have to be made in healthcare and mental health supports. Treatment is the answer to helping people, she said, calling a safe place to inject a band-aid solution. Riddell disagreed, saying CTS is a stage toward a healthy outcome. It's a beginning, he said. A society is measured by how it takes care of its most vulnerable. We have to start somewhere and CTS is the first stage. We start there and bring them back to society. He said the PCs did everything we could to reduce the number of deaths during the pandemic and called out Cara Halios on her stance opposing vaccine mandates. You get vaccinated for respect of other people, not just for yourself and family, he said. Johnson agreed that CTS is only a start, followed by multiple layers of treatment. Offering the example of her niece, Johnson said there was nowhere for her to go in Cambridge when she battled her addiction on the streets. She sought help from a friend in St. Catharines and fought back so hard. She said a lot of people may be opposed to a CTS here, but there are a lot of quiet voters who want to see that in place to take care of people. CTS means we have wraparound services taking care of people's physical and mental health, Knight agreed. She said the NDP will be making mental health a top priority after seeing too many children waiting for help and so many parents facing the same battle. We need to make this a priority. Shenoy also called out Cara Halios for talking rhetoric about the Cambridge CTS. It's wrong, she said, and it creates angst. They are about reducing the burden on the taxpayer and reducing crime. We need to educate people about how it works. Shenoy said Cara Halios used the same rhetoric around mask mandates, which have been proven to work at reducing the spread of infection for over a century. She said she's proud of the Liberal track record on mental health supports and wants to see benefits improved to give more people access to better care.